You trying to figure that thing out?
No, I think I got it.
Okay. All right.
Technology challenge,
but that's all right. I'm not one that's up on technology.
Pray for Brother Charles. Pray for me. Pray for Brother Darrell. And I'm just really, really thankful to have each and every one of you that are here today. God bless you.
Let's go to the Lord's Prayer. Most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for being with us in the song service this morning and for the 5 minutes to have a good song service that we did. It's real, Heavenly Father, continue to be with us in the service this morning. Be with Brother Darrell and Brother Gary as they stand before the preaching of the word of Jesus Christ and increase. If you will, Heavenly Father, open up the storehouse of knowledge to them that they may rectify the truth and truly teach your sheep. Feed your sheep, Heavenly Father. If you will, Heavenly Father, be with each of the ones here in the congregation. Open up the storehouse of knowledge. If you will, Heavenly Father, give them an understanding heart, seeing eye, and hearing ear, that they may truly feast upon your word. Be with each of the ones that are missing here this morning, Heavenly Father. All the ones that are missing in the various churches, be with them. Return to their much more health, if that's your will, Heavenly Father. If not, help them to be reconciled to whatever your will is. Just give them grace sufficient to handle whatever they have before them. Thank you so very much, Heavenly Father, for your son Jesus, for setting up this church on this little ground of sin and sorrow, that we could come in out of the world and be at peace for a while, to worship you, and to hear your word preached, Heavenly Father. Just help us to be better children, Heavenly Father. Not be as wicked as we are, but all the sins we do. Help us to walk in such a way, Heavenly Father, that gives you the honor, praise, and glory. Do not take any for ourselves. If you will, Heavenly Father. Thank you so very much, Heavenly Father, for your Son of Jesus. For all that he did for us, we get on the old run cross and suffered and endured everything that we would have had to
thank
suffer
you,
from eternity, torment, and hell.
Thank
just help us to be more thankful, Heavenly Father, for all that he suffered and endured on our behalf. Help us to be better children, Heavenly Father, to be the best that we can be, to be as much like your Son Jesus as we can be. Thank you so very much, Heavenly Father, for your Son Jesus, for all that he continues to do for us through the many blessings that we have received, the intercessions he makes on our behalf, for all that's been there for us, his wife knows and keeps us safe in all that we do. Just help us to appreciate that, Heavenly Father, to honor, praise, and glorify each and every second of our lives, Heavenly Father, and put you first in all that we do.
Yes.
Have you more in our thoughts than we do.
Yes.
Help us to have our eyes on you more than we do, Heavenly Father. Help us to not have all the idols and small gods that we place before you.
Yes.
Our service to you, Heavenly Father. Just help us to be better children, Heavenly Father. Again, if it's your will, Heavenly Father, be with us in the meeting this morning. Be Brother Gary, Brother Darrell, as they stand before us, and be each of your children here in the congregation. Thank you so very much, Heavenly Father, for your Son Jesus, for the precious name of Son Jesus, for his sake of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you, the Lord.
Amen. We appreciate you. It's just delightful to have you.
Thank you.
Elder Darrell Hand, thankful to have him, Sister Mel, with us. Just pray for him. Sing a verse in the meeting.
All right, I think so.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Is that fan okay? You want it off?
That's wonderful.
Okay.
I enjoy the air coming this way.
I knew I liked you.
Yeah. It's wonderful to be here with you. I enjoyed immensely the song service. It made me reflect back when I was like 15 years old singing that Anywhere. If, you know, anywhere is home. If God is only there.
Amen.
Isn't it a wonderful thing that we can come together with one another that we love, and with one another that think like we do and has that Spirit of God in us,
amen,
and lift His name up? It's a precious, precious thing. You know, Monday morning, I've got to tell on Brother Gary. I was just starting the day, and sometimes Mondays are not that good if you're not, you know, church day's already over with, and we've got to start another week, and I was a little bit down for some reason. Telephone rang, and Brother Gary was on the other line. He said, "Hello, Brother Hand, how are you doing? I've been kind of looking around, hadn't seen you, thought I'd call you." The last couple of weeks, we went up to Columbia and Old Carroll, and got to missing y'all over here. That's just, you know, the way the Spirit works. And Brother Gary completely changed my day when I talked to him. It's a special thing that we can lift one another up just by a phone call or a hug or a meeting together or whatever. We are all in this together.
Amen. Amen.
Which is a magnificent thing.
It is.
You know, over in 1 John, it says, "Hereby we know that we abide in Him by the Spirit which is in us."
Good.
He has given us of His Spirit. That's how we know we love God.
Amen.
It's not something this carnal mind figured out.
Right.
That there was a God. No, He's put it into our hearts.
Amen.
You know, I've got to start with another little story, if you don't mind. But this morning I woke up and I was running around getting ready, and I told Anel, I says, "I know Brother Gary's going to have me say something, and I don't have anything to say." And as soon as I got that eye out of the way,
yeah,
she said, "You know, the Lord will give you something if you'll let Him." And that just almost knocked me down. I thought, what am I doing here? Relying on myself?
Yeah.
Am I relying on my flesh? You know, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit.
That's what it says.
And the Spirit against the flesh. So we cannot do the things that we would. And that's just the way it is. I catch myself all the time not letting God be in charge. It's all about me, and it's all about what I'm going to do. And Anel has so much more faith than I do. She's always helping me with those things. She's my helpmeet.
Yeah.
And it's good to have one another. It says, I believe it's, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That's let.
Amen.
That's not something God does for us.
Right.
He's there. We've got to let it. We've got to look for it. We've got to draw nigh to God.
Amen.
And He'll draw nigh to you.
Right. Exactly. Amen.
I'd like to go to the 8th chapter of Romans. I wrestled with that. But no, they've all heard that.
All right.
Got the thing, well, that's the flesh talking to me again.
There you go.
I need the Spirit, so I pray to God.
Amen.
And God will give a Spirit.
Amen.
I'm going to get down to the 34th verse.
Okay.
Who is he that condemneth? I think that's us.
Sure.
That's who condemns us. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ, sitting on the right hand of God. Making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? What is going to separate us from God?
Right, right.
If we draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us.
Sure.
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And this next statement is something that we can all just grab onto and keep it close to our hearts. It says, for I am persuaded,
amen,
that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
We separate ourselves from Christ Jesus. We do not do the things that He has told us is in this, that's in this book, that helps us to grow nigh and know about Him. There is a little bit in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah I'd like to go through just shortly, because God is such a wonderful God, loves us dearly. It's a wonderful thing that we have a God that we have, because all of our eternal salvation is completely taken care of. But listen to what Isaiah says about our God. But now saith the Lord, this is the 43rd chapter. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee.
Yes.
He's the one that created us and created you in your mother's womb. O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine.
That's pretty good.
Now, isn't that precious?
Amen.
That we are His.
Amen.
This is the Creator of all things, the one that guides us, leads us each and every day, if we will let Him. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. There's so many times that we figure out that I've got to get this done. I've got to do that. Be patient and wait upon the Lord. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience is experience. Experience hope. We've got to understand that this book is God's love letter to His children. This is a way to live. It's something that continues in us because it's God that worketh in you to will and do of His good pleasure. He said, I'm going down to the third verse. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel,
right,
thy Savior.
Amen.
Then the fifth verse says, fear not, for I am with thee. All you have to do is ask Him in prayer, and He's good to hear. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Seventh verse, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory.
Right. Amen.
That's what we are to do. That's where we're set on high. That's how we know that God loves us, by the Spirit that He has given us. We love Him because He first loved us. It's such a precious, precious thing that we can come together on a Sunday morning. Sometimes I wish we had church every morning.
Yeah.
You know, but when we come together on Sunday morning, sing those wonderful songs, it's like Brother Gary was saying, it's not this old voice that he hears from the heart.
Yeah.
God sees from the inside. He doesn't see if your heart, your hair's parted on the right side. He sees you from the heart. He knows what's in you. It's Christ that dwells in you.
Right.
That's a perfectness. That's what each and every one of us have that love God. You know, no one knows if we're eternally chosen. Who's in the Lamb's Book of Life? But, brothers and sisters, you have evidence that is in you that you know that He is God.
Yeah.
We have to be still and know that He's God. Brother Gary's talking about, as we get older, we worry about things. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
But if we're in the Spirit, we're not worrying about anything. We're not to even strive with what God says. I mean, this world, ye are not of this world.
Right.
You're a purchased possession. God has a plan and a purpose for you in this life. Rather than being just a wandering generality,
right,
we need to get specific.
Amen.
Become meaningful specific. And what Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Yeah.
Obey God and follow His commandments. It's a wonderful thing that we have that kind of a God.
Amen.
It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you for your good attention and your open arms. We just love this Virginia rain. Good to be with you.
Bless your heart, brother. I appreciate everything, but you didn't take enough time.
Well, I want to hear you pray.
God bless you. You pray for me, brother. God bless you. It's been a delightful meeting, and I'm so, so thankful for what we've already heard this morning. The preaching of the gospel is not something that we come plan out. It's something that has to be given to us by Almighty God. And whenever we're blessed to sit under the truth and to hear the gospel declared, we should be very, very thankful that the Lord has supplied what we stand in need of. I know I need Him as I stand before you. Brother Darrell was blessed, and I feel, as a pastor, a measure of comfort in that whenever brethren stand and are able to preach and share with the church and the little congregation gets fed, the little lambs and sheep that are gathered, you want them fed. You feel that if we don't say anything, we've already heard enough that God's little children have something to feed on. And that verse that he read, Isaiah 43 and verse 7, says, even everyone that is called by my name. And that's a wonderful thing to think about today, that there is a people that are called out in this world, that are called by His name. And they're out of every nation and out of every kindred and out of every tongue and out of every people. They're the Lord's people. Over in Romans 8, like Brother Darrell has already said, and I may just reiterate a lot of what he said, because it's on my mind too. And that's what I love about the leadership of the Lord. When we come as ministers and we trust in the Lord, He just takes the meeting. And we do let Him. Not that God doesn't have control. Not that God isn't the one that's above all others. Not that we can cause anything to happen or have more power than He does. It's not that kind. But it's to recognize that we're dependent upon the Lord, and I'm trusting in the Lord, and therefore I turn my life over to Him. I hope that's where we are today, that we're called by His name. When the Lord calls us by His name, He's not called us to just live our life any old way that we want to, but He's called us out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light. He's called us to life. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. We did not have any desire to serve God, any love for God. When the Lord came and worked a work of grace in our hearts, He gave us a want to. He worked in us both the will to will and to do of His good pleasure. And that was a work of Almighty God, and you've been called by His name. You are a peculiar people. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You're called to show forth His praise and to honor Him and to glorify Him while you're here in this world. He said in that same verse, verses that preceded that, He said, I'll bring thy seed from the east and from the west, and I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back, bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Isn't it wonderful to know that God has a people out of every nation and every kindred and every tongue? And notice how they get to be His people. They don't get to be His people by sending preachers out to go get them. They get to be His people because He calls them by the power of the Holy Spirit directly, and they are His by choice. He chose them even before the foundation of the world, and then the Lord works in them and calls them. Today, if you love the Lord, it is because He first loved you. If you have a desire to serve Him, it's because He has worked that in you. You didn't reach up to the Lord until He first reached down to you, and then we should draw nigh. How can we draw nigh to the Lord? Well, we draw nigh to the Lord because He has worked in us that desire to draw nigh to Him. He has given us that, and then it's important for us as God's little children to do that. We want to encourage you, just like Brother Darrell did, to draw nigh unto the Lord. And the promise is He'll draw nigh unto you. I need Him this morning. I need Him right now as I stand before you. And so do you. And when we feel Him, and when we have His manifest presence, He says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him. You are God's creation. Isn't it good to know that we didn't create ourselves, but that He made us? You know, we don't believe in evolution, natural or spiritual. A lot of people say, you don't believe in evolution. No, I don't. I believe in creation. I believe that God created this world. I believe that God made this world just like the Bible says He made this world. I believe that the Lord in 6 days created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested because His works were finished. I believe when God said, let there be light, He just spoke it into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. I believe when God made the planet, He spoke this world into existence with all of the cycles and all of its complexity and all of its beauty and all of its glory. I'll tell you, even what we see now, we see a world that has sin entered into it, and so we're not seeing the creation as clearly as it was made and as wonderful as it was made. When God made the heavens and the earth, He looked on all that He made and He saw that it was good and even very good. There wasn't anything wrong with it whatsoever. And what a beauty the Garden of Eden must have been. To look at the God's world now, it's a beautiful thing to look, stand up on the Skyline Drive and look out into the valley, or to stand down in the valley and look up to the drive. We sang that hymn, Let Me Stand by the Side of the Mountain. You can get a whole lot of good blessings just walking trails and walking out into the woods and looking at all God's creation, because it declares His power, it declares His might, it speaks, it declares that there is a creator. When you watch something and see something so wonderfully made, it gives glory to the one who made it. And every day utter a speech. And it speaks to the glory of God. But that's not all that He made. He says, even everyone that is called by name, for I have created him. God has made His children. Now we know He made us naturally. He created us naturally, but He's also the one who made us new creatures. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. When the Lord worked a work of grace in you and you were created in Him, that is the work of regeneration. You're born of the Spirit. Then you're able to see things you could not see before. You're able to hear things you could not hear before. You're able to know things you could not know before. You could understand the things that God had prepared for them that love Him. No man can, the eye cannot see, nor ear heard, neither can enter into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. But when you're born of the Spirit, God reveals them unto us by His Spirit. And that's how we have that kinship. You know, that's why it's just good sometimes for God's children just to get together and sit still and be quiet and think about the Lord, because we have a kinship. We communicate. We communicate by looking at one another. We communicate by hugging one another. We communicate and having fellowship with one another because you're my brother and you're my sister. And the reason that you're my brother and my sister is because God made you and God made me, and we have a kinship in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I have created him. And why would God do that? Well, he did it for his glory. That means you and I ought to be about his glory. That means everything that I ought to do ought to be about his glory. That means if I'm going to be the right kind of dad, it'll be a dad that is his that is a dad because of his glory. If I'm going to be the right kind of husband, it ought to be to give him glory. If you are going to be the right kind of wife, or we're going to be the right kind of people, it's going to be about giving him glory. Do we not spend a whole lot of our time in our lives not thinking about his glory? It ought not be the case, but isn't that true? Oh, may we be better blessed to remember that everything I do, everything that I am, everything that this life is about, the reason I'm here on planet Earth is that I should be giving him glory, whether you're young, little Gracie, or whether you're old. Wherever you are, you have a duty and a responsibility to live your life in a way to give the Lord the honor and the glory. Now, I can tell you that, and it won't mean a thing to you, but if the Lord has made you a new creature, it will mean something to you, and you will understand what I'm saying and have that burden. If you have that burden in your heart, then that is the work of Almighty God. Thank God for it. And with all that's in you, draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. Come unto me, He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And that's where God's little children will find their joy and their rest and their peace in this world. And everywhere else is just sinking sand, no matter how much you accomplish. And sometimes God's little children get wrapped up in that. We start thinking, well, this is so important, I got to do that. I ask you, does it give God glory? If it doesn't give God glory, you don't need to do it. It's about giving him glory. And if there's something that we are involved in that we cannot be involved in and at the same time give God glory, then it's something we need to cease from, repent, and turn from that and begin to do that which truly gives him glory. It's about knowing his will, and that's what the Apostle Paul prayed for the brethren at Colossae. He prayed that they might know that his will, and that and there in that first chapter of Colossians, he knew about them. He said, I've heard about you, of your faith, and I've heard of your love, and I'm so thankful to God that there's a people over there who have faith and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, because you have faith in him and love for him, I want to remind you again of an inheritance that he's given to you. And in Peter, he says, it's in James, I believe, or one, he says, it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fadeth not away, it's reserved in heaven for you. And then he said, and therefore you should live your life to the very best of your ability to know his will, and then to be doers. That once you know it, you put it into practice. Now, why is it so important for us as God's children to put into practice what we know? Because, and when you put it into practice, that's when we let our light so shine before men that others may see your good works. And it does what? It glorifies your Father which is in heaven. And then God's little children walk pleasing to the Lord. How in the world could you and I walk pleasing to the God of heaven? By walking by faith. By walking worthy of the Lord, that means to walk by faith, by trusting in Him, by knowing His will, by learning of His will, by not standing still. Somebody said, how can a little child of God mess up? One thing you can do is just act like nothing's happened to you. Just let life happen to you. Just stand still and do nothing. God never told us. You know, there is a place that we're to stand still and wait on the Lord. But when the Lord's told you what to do, it's not time to stand still. Sometimes we preach that sermon at the wrong place. Sometimes we tell God's children, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When the Lord has gone forth and the waters are divided and it's time to step out into the waters, it's not time to stand still. It's time to go forward. Put on the whole armor of God and go forward into the battle, trusting in the Lord, and do the very best we can by the grace of God to live our lives in a way to give glory to God. Listen, God has done so much for me. I owe him everything. And that's true of you too. And everything I ought to be about in my life, I need to measure that. Is it giving God glory? You know, when husbands love their wives, what does that do? It glorifies the Lord. When wives submit themselves to their husbands, what does that do? It glorifies the Lord. When God's little children get together in a church service and they love one another, what does that do? It gives glory to the Lord. When we forgive one another, what does that do? It gives glory to the Lord. When we do what He tells us to do and put on the good works that He's given us and taught us in His Word we're to do, what is it to do? What does that do? It gives glory to the Lord. Listen, I can look at you as a congregation this morning and it causes me to praise God, just like Paul looked at Colossians. He heard about the brethren at Colossae. And what did it do for Paul? It caused him to thank God. For a people that He called out of nature's darkness, He called them out of the north and out of the south. You just think of all the walks of life we have in this congregation right now. People from different states, people from different places, different backgrounds, all types of God's people. And when God's little children, we recognize the work of Almighty God in them. And how do we recognize that? When they work out that which He's worked in, when they live what He has made them to be, when they are His children following after Him, they talk different, they act different, and they behave different, don't they? Because they've been made different. And the reason they do that, listen, it's not about me getting changed. It's not about me changing everything so God will get me accepted. So He'll accept me. It's about being made accepted in the Beloved. It's about what Jesus has done for me. And it's about us sharing that. Whether we're young or whether we're old, that's an important, important thing. He said, even everyone that is called by name, for I have created him for my glory and I have formed him. It's the Lord who has made us. Yea, I have made him. We turn real quickly over there to the book of Colossians, where I thought I was going to be till Brother Darrell led me I believe the Lord led Brother Darrell to lead me somewhere else. And that's all right. I hope it's been of some benefit. What I'm saying to you is you and I have been called to a wonderful place. And we have something that we ought to be about and we should be doing. Over in the book of Colossians, I want to read that first chapter again in your hearing, at least the first 14 verses this morning. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. The Apostle Paul had heard from Epaphras, who was a minister of the gospel, about these brethren at Colossae, though he had never seen them face to face. He's heard about them and he's excited to be able to write to them because he has a love for them and they have a love for him, though they've never seen one another. Isn't that something we feel? You know, I hear about brethren in other states, never been there, but I feel like I love them already. And when I go there, I feel as much as at home. When I have gone there, I get there and I feel just as much as home there as if I'd been there and grew up there all my life. And that's a great, great blessing. It's a wonderful thing. The Apostle Paul is sharing that with us here. He says, we give thanks to God. Who did he thank God for? Did he thank the Colossians that they had done so much for God? Or did he thank God that they'd done so much for the brethren at Colossae? Well, that's what we want to remember, that if you see good in brethren, if you find someone that you love and you see their love for you and we have that fellowship, that we do what? Do we praise one another? Absolutely not. God forbid we do that. We remember who made him and who formed him. Well, Isaiah tells us that it's God who created him and it's God who formed him. And he said, therefore, we thank God. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. That's something that's very important. You and I need to be praying for one another. I sure appreciate your prayers on my behalf, and I hope you know that I have been doing and try to do as much as I can, fall far short of doing it, but it's a great blessing and a pleasure and a benefit for me to be able to pray for others of God's children. When we hear about the needs of God's people and we go to the Lord in prayer, it brings us closer to the Lord. It's one way we draw nigh to the Lord. That's why it's important for us to be praying. Not just for ourselves, but for one another. And Paul said that. And he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Faith is the gift of God. They didn't get it on their own, But he was thankful to hear about that, and the love is a gift of God. They didn't get it on their own, and he was thankful that he heard that. And so he heard about those things, and he was praying for them. And he says, "For the hope which is laid for up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Can I say to you today that what we're enjoying here is like not a real good picture, but I thought of it earlier. It's like when I handed Daddy that little peppermint patty, and he was able to eat it right then. And yet he knew in the room there was two whole big things of that waiting for him. Here in this world, the Lord allows us fellowship with him, and we get an earnest of our inheritance. There's that which awaits us in glory that we in time can get a little taste of while we live here in this world. We can't have it in the fullness that we'll have in heaven, but I'll tell you, the closest thing you'll ever get to heaven is a meeting where God's little children are worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, and the gospel is being preached, and the songs are being sung, and God's children are honoring the Lord. Somebody said, is that important for us here in this world? I say to you, it's the highlight of our lives. It's the most important place we can be when we're honoring and praising the Lord here in this world. And it's like getting a little earnest of what's awaiting us. But there's a hope that's laid up for us in heaven. One day we're going to be with the Lord in glory. What a day that'll be. We sing about it. Sing about it a lot. What a day it'll be to not have any more problems or troubles or cares. Not to have to worry about the old body aching or all the troubles that we have in this world. And all the things that are not just the way they ought to be. Listen, heaven's a real place. It's a place that's awaiting God's little children. It's an inheritance that's reserved. And that reservation is made by the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of God's children, we've heard about that in Romans 8. All of them, he won't lose one of them. Nothing can separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven," he's thanking God for that, "where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." In other words, when we're preaching the gospel, we're supposed to talk about heaven. And we're supposed to tell God's little children there's a place. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, I believe there was a whole lot more in that than just eternal heaven, but I also believe eternal heaven is in that as well. When Jesus went to a place and prepared a place for them, he went to the cross of Calvary, and there he opened up access to eternal heaven, which was prepared for us from the foundation of the world. It was there, but Jesus Christ had to go to the cross that you and I might be able to be there. He had to do a work for us that we could not do. Not only did he do that, but he prepared a place right here in this world where we can have fellowship with him. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I would come again and receive you unto myself." He also said, "If it were not so, I would not have told you." Listen, this is so. What I'm saying to you is not a wish. It's not just an idea or a thought. There's an eternal home awaiting God's little children. And until that time, he's prepared for us many mansions, many places, an eternal mansion when we get home to glory, but many places of heavenly abode. That's what that word mansion means, by the way. It's a place of heavenly abode. It's a place where two or three are gathered together in his name, and we feel the presence, a manifest presence of the Lord, and we have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and we're lifted up for a little while from this whole world. What a blessing that is. And he says that, "For the hope which is laid up, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit." What does the gospel do? It went into all the world. They were told to go into all the world, and by the way, the apostles did go into all the world. That is all the known world. They went to the Jew and to the Gentile, and they preached that gospel, and it was preached to all of them, and fulfilled that which they were called to do as apostles. And you and I today, as ministers of the gospel, go wherever the Lord leads us, and to preach the gospel to God's little children, not to make them children of God, but to let them know about the good things the Lord has done for them. He, which is coming unto you as it is in all the world, and it bringeth forth fruit. Preaching brings forth fruit. You want to see a lively church? You see a church that's under the sound of the gospel, and they hear the gospel, and they heed the gospel, and the gospel has an impact on them. It brings forth fruit in their life. If we cut off our gospel message, we cut off the truth in this world, God's little children become barren and unfruitful. I'm not saying do this, but all you have to do is neglect the assembling of yourself together for a little while and just stand neutral about it, and you soon will find the joy and the peace and the rest that you have in the Lord are diminished in your life, even to the point you can feel so barren and unfruitful. That's why it's important for us when we're talking to one another to share the gospel. We're to talk about the Lord. Where even when we talk about our troubles, let's don't talk about them as if we don't have any hope, because we have our hope is in the Lord. Listen, we've got an answer to every problem. If someone had an answer to every problem for you, don't you think you ought to listen to them? And the Bible gives us an answer. To all. It's our sufficient. It supplies us. It is that which supplies us in every way. The Word of God supplies us in every way. It's, and I'm not getting the language there. It's okay. It'll come to me after the meeting as I'm riding down the road, and I'll say, oh, I wish I'd have had that at church. That's all right. It is that which supplies everything we stand in need of. We go to the Word of God, and it will lead you and guide you and direct you. And as you hear the gospel, it brings forth fruit. I need to be bringing forth fruit. Somebody said, why is it important for us to bring forth fruit? Because God made you to bring forth fruit. You are a tree of His planting. He has planted you. It's a dangerous thing when God's little children don't bring forth fruit. You read John 15 about the vine and those branches that do not bring forth. He comes and gathers them, and men gather them, and they are burned. It's not losing eternal life, but it's sure losing the joy and the peace and the rest that God's little children have in this world. When those branches bring forth fruit, the Lord purges them. That means He brings you through trials and troubles and afflictions and heartaches. That old branch can get real long and grow out there, and it looks healthy, but it's not. It doesn't bring forth much fruit. It has to be cut back. It has to be pruned. And when you prune it and purge it, the vine dresser, the Lord Himself, purges. Jesus is the vine. We can't bring forth anything without being in Christ. But when He cuts it back, when we go through some troubles and heartaches, that causes us to draw nigh to the Lord. When we draw nigh to Him, we hear more of the gospel. And what does the gospel do? It brings forth fruit. That's why it's important to, not only when you're hearing the gospel, but to pay attention. That's when the preacher says pay attention. And you know, when you're in school and the kids didn't listen, you told them, you better listen up. Because what I'm telling you is important. You're going to need this one day on the job. You're going to need this in your life. I'm not just wasting my time up here. I've got some information that you need. And the gospel minister needs to come before God's children in humility, but yet in power, and tell them, listen, you need to hear what I'm saying to you. Listen, if you ignore the Lord in your life as a little child of God, things are not going to go well for you. God's little children can, He will suffer them just to act like the Lord isn't. But things will not go well for you. You cannot. The world can get along in the world, and there's a day of judgment coming for them. Thank God we're not in that shape. Thank God that we're among the elect that belong to Him, and that He will not leave us alone. When we disobey and go our own way and do our own thing and just say, I'm going to live like I want to and do what I want to, the Lord will certainly, He will tear your little playhouse down, and He'll break it up. And I've seen many of God's little children, and we've experienced it in our own life, and lose many joys and go through much sorrow in this world because we simply wanted. I ask you, have you been in a place at times in your life where you just wanted it your way? But the Lord didn't have that, did He? And He knocked your little playhouse down. Thanks be to God. And so now what should I do? I want to be at the foot of Jesus. And every day I want to get up and say, Lord, please guide me today. Please watch my mouth so I say what I'm supposed to say and keep it shut when I'm supposed to keep it shut. Lord, watch my eyes so they don't wander where they ought not go. Watch my desires so I'm not after things. There are many blessings the Lord has given us in this world, and I want all those that He has given to me, but let me be satisfied with what the Lord has given me. Let me be content with the state that I'm in. Let me not want for more than I ought to have. Let me be above everything thankful for what He has given me. And let me realize that every day is a blessing from Almighty God, and live it in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And what Paul wanted for the brethren at Colossae, though he had never met them, was for them to be on track with that. It's what I desire for you here this morning. I pray it's what you desire for me, and I also desire for others of God's children in this world. He says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. I love the relationship that we see in the Bible between the ministers of the Lord's people. They are my fellow servants. They are my yoke fellow. And I'm so thankful. That's why I'm thankful. Y'all see how happy I get when we have a visiting preacher? It's almost like I go, oh, it feels so good to have somebody else. And I'm thankful for that. I'm just thankful that God has given us that wonderful blessing of a fellowship in the Lord. One where we're praying for one another and begging the Lord. But I understand when the brother says, I get up in the morning and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, you know, Sharon, I'm sure, is sitting there going, look, I'm glad somebody else has to deal with that other than just me. When I'm looking at her and saying, honey, I don't know what I'm going to preach on. As a matter of fact, I said it to her last night. You know what she's done? She says, husbands, love your wives. That's what she tells me every time I'm supposed to preach. She goes, husbands, I said, I know, love your wives. I said, honey, I don't have a thing to preach on. Husbands, love your wives, she says. It is a real burden as a minister when you come before a congregation that you're doing what the Lord would have you to do. And you're saying what he would have you to say. And you're not playing games. And you're not putting on a show. It's not like teaching school. Taught school for 30 years. I kind of know what that's like. I'm not saying I was good at it, but I did it for 30 years. So I understand what that is. This is something different. It's a burden you have in your heart that you want to share with God's people the wonderful truth of what the Lord has done for them. And you want it to hit the spot and you want it to be meaningful to them. You want to help them in their life by sharing with them what the Lord has done so that they would trust in the Lord. Because I'm telling you, when you trust in the Lord, you'll find what you need.
Hallelujah.
And when you don't, it's empty. And you can't turn that on. You can't manufacture the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can't just preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit on your own. It takes the Lord. And that's a burden. A true man of God has that. Epaphras, I believe, had that. And he shared the truth with the people at Colossae. Paul had it for them. And Paul was thankful there was an Epaphras that's preaching to them at Colossae. And I'm thankful for wherever Brother Darrell goes and preaches, because I have confidence in what he's preaching, and I'm thankful for it. I give the Lord the praise, but I'm thankful for my yoke fellow in the ministry. Ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. Notice how he talked about him. He's a dear fellow servant. And notice what he is, though. He's a fellow servant. Which means I'm a servant, and he's a servant, and we're nothing. And what are we without the Lord? Isn't that what he said? Remember over in 1 Corinthians where you're reading that? What are the ministers of God without the Lord? I'm telling you, they're just servants. And that's why we're not. They had schisms in the church at Corinth where somebody was following this one, and someone was following that one. And the Apostle Paul said, I tell you, y'all are so mixed up. I'm thankful I didn't baptize any of you. I tell you, that would be a thing. When do you go to a church visiting and you walk in and you tell them, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of y'all. Paul wasn't out for popularity. Paul was there to preach the gospel. And he was saying, because your eyes are on everybody else, he said, who am I? And who is Apollos? And who is all of these others? Who are they but servants of God? I'll tell you, there's only one Lord. That's the Lord that we're to follow, and that's the one we're to look to. All of these ministers, as much as you love them, and keep that in mind, they're never to be worshipped. They are to be followed only as far as they follow Christ. They are to be honored as the Lord gives them blessing, and they are to be followed. And as they do what the Lord would have them to do, they're to be listened to. But once they cease to do all that, they're just servants. That's all they are. There's one master. Aren't you glad we got a good master? And we all are just servants following him. He says, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Why was he a benefit for them? He was a faithful minister of Christ. I wanted to get to all the rest of this. Time not going to allow for that. And I'm not going to tell you I'm coming in to pick you up next time, because I have no idea where the Lord might lead us next time. But if he leads me here, I hope I'll go there. And if he doesn't, I hope I'll go where he would have me to go. And when it's time to be quiet, I hope I'll learn to do that. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Preaches the gospel, that's what he does. It declares the experience of a little brother as the Lord had dealt with him in his life. It's one that's called from the north and the south and the east and the west. It's one of God's little children that are called by me, his name, created by him, informed by him. And he declares his experience. I hope we can relate to that. If you can relate to that, I have... And I want to encourage you to take up your cross and follow him in baptism, as the Lord has told us to do. If you have a desire to unite with this church, any sister church is represented, a desire to be baptized, and you haven't done that, we encourage you to do that in obedience to the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's part of what we're to do as God's little children, to honor and glorify him. It's our duty and responsibility. So we encourage you to do that. And that is for those who love the Lord. We're saying the thing 333. Of course, if you love him, it's because he first loved you. Give him all the honor and praise. 333. I was once far away from the Savior, and as vile as a sinner could be, I wondered if Christ, a Redeemer, would save a poor sinner like me. I was wandering on in the darkness, not a ray of the light could I see, and a thought filled my heart with sadness. There's no hope for a sinner like me. And then in that dark, lonely hour, a voice whispered sweetly to me, saying, Christ the Redeemer has power to save a poor sinner like me. I listened, and lo, 'twas a Savior who was speaking so kindly to me. I cried, I'm the chief of sinners. Thou can save a poor sinner like me. I then fully trusted in Jesus, and oh, what a joy came to me. My heart was filled with his praises for saving a sinner like me.
Amen. Bless you, brother. announcements. A little bit of things we need to. Just very, very thankful for each and every one of you that are here today. Appreciate all our visitors being here. Certainly encourage you to come back and be with us whenever you can. Continue to pray for all of our membership and others that have been mentioned in the way of prayer. Pray for one another as we face this whole week. We have the old natural man, the old person that we are to contend with that leads us as the spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, so that you cannot do the things that you would. We have that battle going on. And we have the old adversary, the old devil that we have to contend with in this whole life. But thanks be to God, greater is he that is in you and he that is in the world. And when we look to the Lord, he said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And in me you might have peace. And I pray that we'll let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're called in one body. And I pray that he'll bless us with that. Very, very thankful to seeing each and every one of you today. Brother Darrell.
Yeah, I'd like to say that we're so very glad to have Kelly Roach with us. Her daddy is Elder Terry Roach. He's a real good friend of mine out of Missouri. And just wanted to say that we're just so thankful to have her come with us.
Yeah, we're glad. I know she's been here before, but we're thankful she's back. And really good to see her. And I really appreciate that. Just good to have each and every one of you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you being here. You can come anytime you can. God bless you. All minds are clear. We'll stand and look to the Lord in this mission. I'm going to ask Brother Bobby, if you would, lead us in prayer, Brother Bobby.
May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful day. We thank you for all the people we served up today, Lord. We give praise for the love that you have shown us here today, Lord, and the message you gave our two brothers. The message came through our heart, Lord. We open our hearts, Lord. As we leave here today, we remember that your Son died on the cross for our sin. We're all sinners. But Lord, we love thee. We ask you to just walk with us through our life. Walk over our sin and watch them, Lord. Help them through their lives. Help the sickness, Lord, and in the world today. Help our nation. Lord, there's so much going on in the world today we just don't know what's going on. We're leaving it to you, Lord. We know you know what is right. And we know that we can look up to you and the love you have shown in us and the love that we care so much, Lord. We give thanks for everything you've done. And we leave here today and the week ahead. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless 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 you.